Anyways, God bless you, every one of you. I thank you for tuning into our program. We're going to talk about a message that's a very, very important to everybody. I don't care who you are. You could be a little young child. You could be an elderly, a teen. You know, sickness is not fun.
No.
If you're sick, and it's good to have people who know about how to get you well that are around you. And some people say, well, not everybody got healed. Well, you know, there might be true. You know, it might be true that some people didn't get healed, and there's a reason for it. And we're going to find out some things in the scripture. And Bible says, we shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what the scripture says. So that's what we're believing. We're not going to debate about it and what percentage did stay alive or got better. Some people die, and there's reason for it, and the Bible answers those reasons and why people expire early. And I'm doing all I can to stay alive and be healthy. Not just stay alive, but just be vibrant, be healthy. You know, Psalm 89, Psalm 91 tells us you can be old and vibrant. Praise God, amen. You can be alive. You can be old. You know, I go around Pastor Hagin and I see him, and he's in his 80s. And he looks so vibrant when you're near him, just so shining. His wife is, in the late 70s? She looks wonderful, praise God. Can you imagine the anointing of God's on you? You get refreshed.
Right.
You know, so we got to keep that anointing on us.
Right.
Day and night, praise God.
And we want to concentrate on healing, what God's word says about healing, not find excuses about why we can't be healed,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
Some people have their concentration on the wrong thing.
Wrong thing is like with the tithing or the tithing and giving. Like you don't have to, you know, tithe, people say. Well, in your case, you might not want to tithe, but in my case, I do want to tithe. Because once you know the word of God, you're responsible for the word that you know.
Right.
God's not going to hold you responsible for what you don't know. And that's the way it is. So once I got a hold of that, I haven't let it go. And I haven't stopped. And the Lord provided all my needs. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I can, because there's different needs coming up all the time. But we're trusting God, and we're believing God with you. Every need shall be met. Every need. So we believe God. The ministry is being provided for, and we're believing our own lives and our leadership team and different ones. You know, my faith provides for my own self. Everybody's faith provides their own self. And if you are lacking is maybe you're not doing the right things. You know, you say, well, I'm going to follow what Pastor Roman does. No, well, you better find out what the Word says and follow that. And put your faith in the Word, not what Pastor Roman does or some other minister that you admire, because they have faith and they understood that. So,
yeah.
Same with healing. So we're going to look at healing. So everybody get your Bibles out. We're going to get to healing right now. All right. Okay, so Roadblocks to Healing, Part 2. We're talking about, our topic is divine healing, not medical healing. This is not, you know, healing of the mind or psychology. This is spiritual, divine healing. That's what we're talking about. So you need to understand what we're talking about. I'm not a medical doctor, so we have to see from the scripture. I've been studying scripture for a number of years this is one area I've studied more than any other area, I believe. So let's go to Exodus 15:26, and we'll read that and we'll catch the important thing that we want to talk about. Exodus 15:26, the King James Version, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. First of all, God gave Israel, when they came out, a number of instructions. Staying together, and marriage, and food, and living conditions. And God gave them all these instructions, and that's what he's talking about in here. And so that's what we understand. If God gave you instructions, you need to follow them. But he also adds on, he says, and give ear to his commandments, Notice this, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee. We dealt with this last week about the way this word or the sentence is expressed in the original language, the Hebrew language, because this was translated in the causative rather than the other statement.
Permissive
said, yeah. He said, I'll put none. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's translated. Which I have brought upon the Egyptians. So he says, I will not allow these diseases upon thee, which I have allowed upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, that would make more sense reading that sentence because, you know, it doesn't go with the rest of it. One moment he's saying, I'm putting diseases on them, the Israelites, and or the ones that he put on the Egyptians. And he says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. It should have been reading this way, for I'm the Lord that makes you sick. It's consistent with the rest of the sentence. But God says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He's the Lord Jehovah Rapha. Mm-hmm. He's our healer. And so we have to get that into our hearts. And so the biggest hindrance in anybody's life concerning healing is to know whether or not it's God's will to heal them. So that's the biggest hindrance. Anybody can understand this concerning healing. And is it God's will to heal me? And so if you can come over that stumbling block, you got it made. Because there'll be other stumbling blocks, but this is the main one. But also the second one is related to it, and God sends diseases on people. God made me sick for a reason. So that's another lie. It's a roadblock. So we dealt with those last week. And we know that according to Scripture, when Jesus healed the people in the four Gospels, you know, there's 19 cases in the four Gospels, and two-thirds of them mention faith is the key in healing, and the other ones infer some kind of faith, a group faith or a collective faith involved in it.
Right.
So God, you know, God wants to heal us. And we have to come. And so we looked at one case out of those 19, and it was the leper. I believe it's in Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus came down with him, and a leper came and says, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can heal me." So this leper believed that God could heal him, but he didn't know whether or not it was his will to heal him. That he could do it for him. And so this is a roadblock for many, many people. They can't see that it's God's will to heal because there's all kinds of sources. And so we said this in the outset of our discussion. We have so many roadblocks, and they stem from real traditional thought in Christianity where it has no basis in the fact of the Bible, the Scriptures. It's just a tradition of men. Or superstition, mm-hmm. and then also misunderstood scriptures like we read here because they didn't read it and they don't understand, what the Bible is saying. I'm getting some mail here. Well, thank you for watching, whoever you are, and keep talking to our Amanda, and talk to her and mention some things there. So. And we talked about this, the basis of our healing is based on the covenant. So God says when he came over, if you follow me, my instructions, I'll heal you. And so the best thing, if you want to get healed, walk close with God, get to his word. The best way to get close to God and walk close with God is get to the word.
Right.
Read his word every day. He and his word are one.
So it's something we have to do as well. We don't earn our healing, but we do have to walk in the laws of God.
Yes.
And not all these laws that the Israelites had to abide by, but there's only two laws that we have to abide by in the new as New Covenant believers, right?
Right, right. The biggest law, the law in the New Covenant, is what?
The law of love.
The law of love, yeah. So if we're not loving Christians, other Christians, and if you're tearing them down, criticizing them, hating them, then you're going to have a hard time with healing. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to nullify, have the word work ineffectively in your life because healing is of the heart. And you cannot override, you know, something else you're doing over what you're trying to believe. You know, so you're fighting against each other. So faith works by love.
Right. So that's a blockage in your spirit.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people, they criticize other Christians. They criticize the government. They criticize their prime minister, their president. They're saying all kinds of stuff on online and just freely. They say, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. I can quote different ones and then just attack them online. And then when it comes to their healing, they're wondering why they're not healed, or they're wondering why they're not having peace in their lives. And so you can't violate one area and expect it to work in the other area. And so love really makes our faith go.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you have to do everything by faith, even love people by faith, right?
That's true.
So if you don't like somebody, hey, do something nice for them. Because Jesus said, be nice to the people that oppose you. And so that's important for us to recognize is that the covenant, we need to get to the covenant. And so we can need to talk about those areas, but Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, where we get the basis of our healing from the new covenant. The people, the new covenant writers, you know, Matthew and Peter, these apostles, were quoting what Isaiah said. And, you know, by his stripes were healed. Jesus suffered, you know, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses and diseases, and with his stripes we healed. And Matthew quotes that scripture when Jesus went around healing the sick. And Matthew 8:16 says, he healed all that were sick. Then verse 17 goes on to say, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus carried our sicknesses and diseases. So that's what Matthew is saying, what was happening when Jesus was healing the sick. And Peter, also looking back at the, you know, at the cross, what Jesus happened to Jesus, he said, by his stripes, we were healed. Were healed. As far as God's concerned, on Jesus on the cross took our infirmities and our sicknesses on the cross, took the cause of all disease and pain on the cross. Matthew says, by whose stripes you were healed. So according to God's word, we were healed on that cross. But it might not be manifested in our bodies because we gotta begin to embrace that word.
Right. So
as long as we question it.
Yeah. So that's a past tense. We were healed. Mm-hmm. So it's done.
Yeah. And so I you know, even though if you might be taking medication, you know, hey, take the medication and continue to believe God.
Yes.
And say, thank God for my healing. Take that medication and faith. That's how faith is going to work. Like, you're not a medical doctor telling somebody take away your medication and you got to do this by faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our place to do that.
And we've also said that it's not an either-or proposition. No. I mean, doctors are in the same business as God is. They're in the healing business.
Right.
So, you know, take whatever helps you to get healthy.
So these scriptures, Isaiah 54, or 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, 1 Peter 2, 24, these scriptures are all saying the same thing, in that Jesus took our sicknesses. That's the basis of healing for all of us. And then the covenant, Exodus 15:26, what God spoke to the Israelites, making a covenant that I will be your healer if you follow me. That's what he said. When they came across from Egypt and over to the other side, going over to the promised land, he said, from now on, I'm going to be your healer. I'm your doctor. And so this is awesome to know that God made that covenant. And we have a better covenant. Hebrews 8:6 says that we have a better covenant,
yes,
based upon better promises. And there's a reason why it's called that, and we can look at that at some point and to know, you know, God can minister. You don't have to be, like, here's the thing about it, that a lot of people think, you know, pastor, come to the ER, or come over to the, you know, to the ICU, show up there, lay your hands. And you don't even have to do that. God's everywhere. And a lot of times Jesus spoke the word of faith, go home, your servant is healed, your child will get better, your child will live, not die. He spoke that word. And we speak in God's word is the same as God himself speaking his word over a situation. And we need to see those things. And so there's various ways we can see that you don't have to be in the same spot. I could be praying here today, and someone next week can be healed by listening to the program.
Right.
There's no time and space in the spiritual realm. It's hard for us to understand that.
But that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. It is exciting. I watched Catherine Kuhlman meeting or a Benny Hinn service and the power of God there. I could just feel the same power, and that's been there for a long, long time. You know, if I ever want to get a good jolt of the anointing, I'd go watch that same program and get the same effect again. And in fact, I remember Rodney Howard Brown saying, whenever I talk about my experience when I had the encounter with God, the same thing happens. The same thing happened with me. When I start talking about my experience with the Holy Spirit and the power of God upon my life that came in the early 1981, that power comes alive in me again. I can just sense that same power, and those who would hear me, they would get that same effect because of the Spirit of God. It will always work. It never dies. Your experience will never die, your encounter with God. And so thank God, nothing dies in the spiritual realm. So anyway, that's free information. And so our main idea today is this, that by removing hindrances, we can position ourselves on the road to divine healing. So if we can remove any obstacle that's preventing us from being healed in our minds, in our lives, any kind of teaching, philosophy, tradition of men, whatever it is, superstition, we can receive our healing. We can get healed. So we need to study the Word of God concerning divine healing so that we can place ourselves in a position for healing and for continual divine health flowing in our bodies throughout our lives. So again, last week we talked about two major roadblocks, as we mentioned, that prevent us from receiving healing. First, we have to know that God does not put sickness on people and that God is our healer. And we have to know where sickness comes from. It comes from Satan. It does not come from God. So that's what we talked about last week. So we saw from various scriptures that Satan puts sickness on people and that Jesus came along and healed them. So we want to see other roadblocks today and look at that and make this a consideration so that we can help ourselves and help other people. So roadblock number three. A stumbling block number three. The roadblock number three is the story of Hezekiah, who applied a poultice for his healing. So people are saying, maybe I need this. Let's go ahead and read the scripture. Let's go to Isaiah 38, verses 1 to 5. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus said the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die not live. Man, if a prophet came over and told you that you're going to be dying, then that's it. in some cases. So it doesn't matter what the prophet said. I mean, it could change. It's a relationship. In this scripture, I see that there's a relationship between that prophet, that king, that man, and God himself. The prophet was a bystander, just relaying some information. So God was dealing directly with that man, and God will deal directly with you. I remember one time when I was praying for someone, God said, no more. I've been dealing with this guy. Your prayer has no effect in this now because he has to listen to me. So I couldn't apply my faith to that because God was already dealing with this person. So sometimes there's people out there right now, they're trying to pray for someone that God has been dealing with for so long. And they might expire if something doesn't change in those people. They have to make the right situation. They have to situate their heart and life over to God, with God, and the instructions that God gave them previous, and change the situation. And then our prayer is going to work with them, in conjunction with them. So in this situation, there's something that happened in some matter like that. Verse 2 says, and then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. So this Hezekiah had a relationship with God, and he's praying to God himself. He didn't go to the prophet and ask him to change it. He went to the Lord. He said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. See, here's the situation. Verse 3 says this. He went to God and pleaded his case before God. He said, here's what I used to do. Here's what I did before. I walked before you. And so for some people, when you try to pray for them, you don't know what they've done before. I remember Brother Hagin said he prayed for his elder, and he said, I'm not going to let him die. Well, why did he say that? Because he said, first of all, he went before God. He said, God, and he had this little church, and this elder was the best man he had in his church, the best Christian who supported him personally. He helped him along with chores in the church. He was there in faith, faithfully attending, helping whatever in different services and areas. And he was his leader, his elder. He was also the biggest giver, financier, someone who gave in the ministry. And someone who was just an outstanding leader in the church and within the community where he lived. So he went before God and said, God, I need this guy. If I need him, you need him. So I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to let him die. And if he dies, you know, hey, I'm not going to feel good about this situation, you know. And so he talked about it. And then the guy actually died, went to heaven. He told the story. It's a Baptist man. Went to heaven. And in heaven, the Lord told him, to make the story shorter, the Lord told him, pull back a curtain and said, you cannot come now. He pulled back a curtain and he saw Brother Hagin saying, you know, I'm not going to let him die. See, you have to go back because he's praying. So the guy comes back to his body later on. He gives a story in a testimony in church and says, never feel bad about someone who died, who's a Christian, someone who believed in Jesus. Because they don't want to come back. He said, I didn't want to come back. My own mother, I was telling somebody the other day, my own mother who passed away died, went to heaven, saw the heavenly, heard the heavenly choir and the wonderful sense and joy she felt. She came back to her body. She said, I saw my body. I came back into my body and when I got into my body, I said, oh man, you know, I can feel the pain again and I'm in that bed. And somehow God gave her strength and she lived. She told me this story. Personally, I believe my mom. Mm-hmm. And I told somebody yesterday, I know several people that I know personally, that have went to heaven, that didn't necessarily die, but they went to heaven. My own pastor, Pastor Rick, went to heaven, mm-hmm. told a story. He wouldn't die. He told us a story, and he went to heaven, and the Lord gave him instruction. And I know another man of God who I walked with very closely. He actually gives us a few hundred dollars a month to spare the life. He said, Rome, I'm going to give you money every day. And he went, he died. The Lord let him live. And he had a purpose for him in the country, Canada. And so different ones like that. When I was at Rhema, I met certain ones, some of my teachers that died, went to heaven, Brother Hagin, Keith Moore, different ones that I know personally that I've been close to around, that died, went to heaven. So there are people who went up there and saw heaven and come back and told us that heaven is a real place. You want to go there.
Yes.
And I was telling somebody yesterday, I went into the spirit, and I didn't know I want to come back here in the natural. Because when I came back in the natural, it's so much different. There's so much life in the spirit. So here he's talking to God. Verse 3 said, I remember, O Lord, I have beseeched thee how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is right, good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So he's repenting.
Right.
Whatever that was between him and God, and he got off out of the will of God, and where Satan got a hold of him and put sickness on him. But he came back to God. And verse 4 says, then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, or say to Hezekiah, say, thus said the Lord, or the God of thy father, thy David, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. So he saw his repenting. Mm-hmm. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life, right? 15 years. So this guy repented and came back to God. And so very often we see this. Now, we're talking about, we're getting to another subject, but people said that this man got healed because he applied a poultice to his life. They're saying, if God will just show me what medicine to apply to my life or whatever I have to do. So we see here, let's go to read verse 21 and 22. 20 and 21. See, it says here, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, will we sing, we will sing songs to the Lord, stringed instruments all the days of our life and in the house of the Lord. Verse 21, Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. So some have wondered why God told Hezekiah to put a poultice, on the boil that he had. He had some kind of a growth or something that happened to him, and then he was going to die. And so, for God had previously told Hezekiah, this man here, that he would not die, but he would add to his life. So, therefore, this poultice was not necessary for him to be healed. It had no medicinal value or curative value to a purpose in his life for him to be healed. So sometimes we make a mistake. We say, we got to have this, we got to have that in order for God to heal us. You know, God's word alone is sufficient.
Right.
He can heal us. So many people have used poultices, throughout history for a cleansing agency, or that's what we understand. Poultices have some cleansing purposes, but no healing power in it itself. Because it is reasoning according to the Bible faith, God told Hezekiah, put a poultice on the boil as an act of releasing his faith and obedience. So sometimes God will tell you to do something. Like sometimes I remember someone said that he was trying to be healed or of something, and God says to him, take this off, don't use this. Food, a certain kind of food, and you'll be all right. It wasn't a matter of necessarily divine healing, but it's just a matter of medical or just natural things that he should do. I mean, doctors tell us different things, right? We need to follow natural things to help ourselves as well, mm-hmm. as well as spiritual things. But in this case, it had no value of healing, but it had a value of obedience and faith, a spiritual value of healing, in terms of if he obeyed God. So we need to see here something. So God told him to put this poultice upon his body, and then he would be healed. So that was a direct word for him to apply to his own life. It was an act of faith, just as though when God told this man, Elisha, to go to this man, Naaman, and, actually, he was directed to go there by the Lord. They called him and said, this man of God has healing power from God. Call him over. Let's see what he can do. And so, over here in 2 Kings, let's go here, chapter 5, and verse 10 and 14. We're going to cut the story straight, a little bit here. So, Elisha sent a messenger to him, that is Naaman, saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, thou shalt be clean. So did the River Jordan have cleaning, healing powers? No. Just much like the poultice didn't have any cleaning power or healing power. So he's telling, the prophet's telling this man to go into the Jordan River, dip 7 times, and you're going to come out clean from your leprosy. So verse 14 says, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan as an act of faith, as an act of obedience, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So this is the same kind of reasoning for Hezekiah. It was an act of obedience. And so sometimes we need to check our own spirit and check what God's been telling us all along. You know, I know some of us wrestle with drinking with coffee and maybe eating too much chicken or whatever. Maybe God's dealing with us to lay off certain foods. You know, we look in spiritually,
right,
for an answer, some kind of a spiritual answer, maybe some kind of a vision, or God will show up and give you some kind of a magic, supernatural encounter to show you something. But sometimes in your spirit, God tells you, hey, you need to get up and start walking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a stumbling block where people, they want something from God, they want to hear from God, but God already told them something. So the stumbling block is that you're not going to get any kind of sign from God. God's not going to give you any kind of natural remedy, but just go ahead and obey God with what you know already.
Right.
Start obeying what he said to you. Maybe some people need to stop criticizing the government, maybe, perhaps. Maybe it's their downfall. Maybe it's affecting their faith. Maybe it's affecting them in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being disobedient, God telling them, go and help Pastor Roma. Some people say, well, God told me to give you this, you know. Some people say, God asked me to come work with you, but they haven't. They put all kinds of reasoning about why they can't at the moment. I've seen people who said, I'm going to come in ministry, but then they didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
They still didn't make it.
Right. I also like Brother Hagin's story. You know, the Lord spoke to him and said, because he was bedridden for all those months, and the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, well, people are up at this time of the morning, mm-hmm. and here he was still lying in bed.
Right.
So it could be something simple like that, just getting yourself up, make your bed, you know, get going with your day, and believe that that healing power is working in your body. So that could be a practical thing to do
as
well.
As difficult as it is.
Yes.
Yeah. You remember the story about someone was calling me, you know, they had cancer. And I said, oh, I know someone who had cancer. And in fact, Joel's mom had cancer, and she's got a book. We have a book. We have in our bookstore, there's a story that mm-hmm. she mentions how sick she was. And she'd get up and make her bed and then start doing ministry, even though she was sick and told she was going to die
right.
in a few weeks.
Right. She was praying for people.
Yeah.
She was doing her dishes, you know, serving her family. That's not easy.
And went across town and did service work for God. Mm-hmm. And so she just did it by faith.
Mm-hmm. And she's alive today.
Alive today. Tell a story today. And there's people who could have been alive today. Could have told their story. But they're not here. And so we need to follow what God says. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people criticize us for being so adamant about healing. We have to be, because the Bible says, the Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do in Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24? What are we going to do with that? We're going to cast it aside. It doesn't belong to me. Or are you going to investigate that,
mm-hmm.
study it for yourself, and apply it to your own life and start mm-hmm. believing? Even mm-hmm. though, it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you might fall. And yes, you might take medicine for a while.
Right.
And use a cane. Go ahead. And don't criticize anybody. Go ahead and walk with God
yeah.
and do what you can. It's not a matter of what everybody else is doing, what God
yeah.
told you to do. Just like Hezekiah and just like a Naaman.
Mm-hmm. And I like what Hezekiah did. He went to God himself. He repented. He cried out to God. So when you have a relationship with God, you can have a real heart-to-heart talk with the Lord. And he because he did that, he gained 15 more years for his life.
I had a number of incidents. You know, if you live long enough and you have enough brothers and sisters, they're going to die. Either you die first or they'll die before you. And I had a number of incidents where my relatives died early. And I'm a man of faith, and I'm a man of prayer, and I serve God. And I suffered because of it. Because some of my close brothers and sisters went off the rails and got mm-hmm. away from God and died.
Yeah.
And I just shudder to think about that. What if they're in hell? And everybody I heard about the way certain things, that people go to hell right away. And they, People always cast me to hell a long time ago because of my own life. But God's in the area of developing and restoring lives. And so I had a hard time with it. I went to God myself privately, even though I couldn't pray for them. God had to deal with God with me myself after they died, many years later, because I was tormented by it, by the devil, because I couldn't pray for them. Why did they die? Maybe I'm going to die too. I couldn't pray them out of it. So the devil plays on your mind about a lot of these areas, and you have to deal with it as you live.
Right.
And a lot of times people want to pray for other people because they're afraid to die themselves. Right now, I'm not afraid to die. I've had enough scripture, and I understand. I don't want to die now, but I'm going to live a long life. I'm believing God to live a long life. You say, well, how much is long? It's none of your business. As long as I can have health and be well and do whatever I can. So I went to God, and I prayed for you know, these situations that was happening in my life. The Lord had told me before, he had dealt with my own relatives very personally, that it wasn't a matter of my faith. And I know a lot of people who prayed for relatives who passed on, and we're going to have to deal with that ourselves. When they pass on, we're going to have to deal with it. Either God heal me and go on with your life, because that grief is holding you in a situation when you're ineffective to your own family, to yourself, and to those people that you're supposed to minister to. And you spent 20 years wasting your time on what? Grieving. God told some certain men and women in the Bible to stop grieving, go ahead and start serving me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we become ineffective because the devil has got us right where he wants us. And we're not to be grieving all day long. I mean, yeah, there is grieving. It's real. But God, there's healing as well for grief.
That's right. It's a season,
Yes. And out of respect, we grieve as well. You know, we stop doing certain things, and we stop and pay respect for someone who's died, you know. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad passed away. Some people have their mom and dad yet, and they're my age almost. I have relatives, sisters and brothers who died, young ones, older than me. So I had to deal with all these issues. And so we have to get our faith in the Word of God and work collectively as a Christian bunch of people to make sure that we're not going to let any of these hindrances stop us.
And those can be personal roadblocks, right? If you've had a loved one pass away, not be healed, that can affect you. And some people actually make a doctrine out of it, saying, okay, well, because so-and-so died, that means not everyone gets healed.
Right.
Or God doesn't want to heal everyone. Yeah. So that's where the danger is. You know, you need to go to God yourself, and he'll show you.
It's a tradition of man. We see something happen in the body of Christ. I know you and I know this. Growing up in the church, you see someone who died, and they've been praying for healing. They look like they're believing God.
They're a good person.
They're good people.
They're serving God.
Yeah, they serve God, and yet they died with sickness, really bad sickness, and suffered a long time before they died. I don't think God wants us to suffer a long, long time, be incapacitated in the hospital for months on end, years on end. That's not God's will. And then we die at the end of it without there's no glory in God, giving God there. So we need to believe God right to the moment we give our last breath that we lived to the full. And, you know, I know the guys in the Bible that died, they knew, Paul knew he's going. Mm-hmm. My departure is coming. God told them. God told Peter, my day is coming. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And God told the ones in the old, God told Moses, you're going. God told Aaron, you're going. I mean, we ought to know. God's going to get us ready. In fact, right here, the man of God was told, get yourself in order, pay your taxes, pay your water bill, give your TV back that you had from somebody, and you're going to be passing on. So the man had chance to get his house in order. He did get his house in order. Mm-hmm. But then he was added 15 years, so he took the TV back and kept it. Whatever. Anyway, let's go to the next one. Number four. Here's another stumbling block. 2 Timothy 4:20, it says, there Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick? This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. So let's look at this stumbling block, number 4, which the Apostle Paul, some people say, Apostle Paul left behind a certain believer sick in his ministry, thinking this leads one to believe that it's God's, not God's will to heal everybody. Mm. But this guy was working with the great Apostle Paul. Surely this he would have been healed. If it was God's will, working with Paul, you ought to be instantly healed. The man's apostle of God. He wrote most of the New Testament. So some have used the scripture to say it's not always God's will to heal a person. So that's why Paul left Trophimus sick behind. In fact, I can't even say his name. I mean, that's why maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so he left this guy sick. So Paul said, okay, man, listen, I'm going to leave you behind. I got to go. I'm traveling. I can't take a sick person with me. We're going to leave you here. You're sick. But there's nothing we can do about it. So we're going to move on. And so maybe that's what people do lots of times. They don't know what to do. Mm. They don't know how to pray. I was in the same situation. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't have anybody to teach me. But thank God I got a hold of the one little cassette tape, which I listened to over and over, wore it out, called The Twofold Redemption. Brother Hagin, that's in the early 80s, late 70s, 80s. I listened to that. Some guy from the Full Gospel Businessman gave me that tape. I listened to it over and over and over again. Somehow it fed my spirit. I didn't know what he was telling me, but somehow I enjoyed that, listened to that. And so, I didn't know how to help people. I didn't know how to help myself. So here, Paul said, people say, well, Paul left Trophimus sick. So he left him sick there. So what about that, Paul? What about that, Roma? What about that, Christian, that Paul left this guy sick? It must be not God's will to heal all of them. Because, hey, Paul is an apostle. So they think that because Paul's an apostle, he could just heal anybody anytime he wanted to. Because they had the power. So in some circles, in some Christian circles, they thought that an apostle, man, he could just do anything. A prophet, he can hear from God anytime he wants to. He can just give you a word of knowledge, give you a vision, and just tell you what to do in life. But that's not how it works. So if you want to learn about the ministry gifts of the Spirit, come and listen to our course and hear our course. We'll show you some things that have set you free. Now, healing primarily is a faith proposition on the part of the recipient. It is always a matter of faith and prayer, mm-hmm. and all a matter of receiving when it comes to receiving healing. So it's not all Paul. Mm-hmm. So you can't blame Paul for leaving the man sick. What if the man didn't believe? What if he wasn't in a position to receive?
Right.
Well, you have to walk off and leave some people. I saw Jesus leave people sick mm-hmm. in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. He walked off and left people sick. Healed one person, maybe. But sometimes people are not in a position to receive healing. They have no faith. They have unbelief. They're full of traditions of men and philosophies that are not founded upon the Word of God. And they're not in a position to receive. They're full of doubt and unbelief. And so, no matter how much faith a minister may have or how much anointing he may have, he cannot force healing into a person's body or any recipient to receive healing. A person's doubt will nullify any person's prayer of faith or any kind of power that they have in God to render them well. So the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? So say, for instance, I want to pray for you. You're hoping, I'm in faith. It's not going to work.
That's right.
We have to be in total agreement that healing belongs to us. Mm-hmm. When I lay hands on you, that's the moment you'll be healed. Whether or not you feel anything, whether or not you start walking right away, whether or not you are taking medicine or no medicine, you're going to believe right now that healing is yours right now. Mm-hmm. That's what Brother Hagin used to say. When I lay my hands on you, after he did some teaching, when I lay my hands on you, will you receive healing? And that person said, well, I hope so. Well, he had to leave him, walk off and leave him and pray for the other folk. Because you have to be in total faith that when I pray for you, or when I pray for you at the end of this program and say, be healed, you're going to have to be healed. You're going to have to be ready to be healed. But if you say, well, I hope so. I'm going to pray next time again, Brother Hagin, Brother Roma comes around. No, you have to do it right now. You have to believe on the basis of the Word of God. Not because I prayed. Not because Kenneth Copeland prayed. Not because of Brother so-and-so prayed. Not because Brother Hagin prayed. Benny Hinn or somebody. No, because you have faith.
Right. And this scenario also shows that Trophimus, even though he was close to the ministry of Paul, he was working with Paul, that doesn't make it automatic that he would receive healing or he would receive
osmosis.
Right. So it's like us too, people that work with us, come to this church. It's not automatic that you receive healing. You still have to use your faith. Mm-hmm. You still have to believe, like you said.
It can be a better chance for them.
Right, because you're hearing
that
message.
Hearing, you're there around it all the time. I mean, the apostles, they saw Jesus and saw the anointing on him. They saw him teach people, instruct mm-hmm. people with free healing, and they was able all to minister healing later on. Mm-hmm. So Jesus said, Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you, that if two of you, well, how many people does it take to agree for someone to be well?
Two.
Two people. So I see this all the time, every day, right now, right at this very moment. Everybody on TV, pray, everybody pray in the whole world that this person will be healed. Well, that's not how it works. I don't see that in the Bible, that everybody has to pray for your healing. Where is that in the Bible? Show it to me. The Bible says it takes two, one or yourself or somebody else to pray for it. So they're getting everybody, all their Facebook friends and fans to pray for them so that someone will come out of something in the hospital. Even if you can get everybody in the whole world to pray, if that person didn't agree, didn't want to do anything with God, unless by some sovereignty of God, he overrides everything, all his own rules, then we're going to see something, some supernatural something. But that's not how it works in the Bible. That person has to have some respect for the Word of God. I asked the Lord one time, and all the people that I know that were very close to me in school, when we grew up in school and on our reservation, I had a number of people that I went to school with. We sat in the same desk, close together. Lots of them had died before I did, way long. Some of them even younger than me. Car crashes and suicides and just killing themselves and overdosing and whatever. And violence, died by violence. I asked the Lord about 30 years ago, I was the worst of them all. I was the worst of them. I started drinking earlier than them, and I was just right out there. And I saw them, they had better homes than I did. Seemingly. Parents and so on. And some of them that I thought shouldn't have died. Mm-hmm. And so I asked the Lord, why did I live and they died? The Lord said to me, it's because you had a fear of God. You had some respect for the Word of God. So it's important to have some kind of respect for God. No matter what, then God will judge you on that yourself. The negative side of this, Matthew 18 and 19, the negative side of this is that two people don't agree or will not agree, it's not going to be done.
Right.
So there's no doubt that Trophimus, his faith played a great part in his own personal healing. Because mm-hmm. Paul had faith. Paul had the Word. So there's a vast difference between a healing miracle and just a regular healing. Some healings are instantaneous. Some of them are gradual. You know, in some cases, we see different kinds of healing in the Bible. Some are real quick. Some are just takes a while. For instance, Jesus healing the nobleman's son was a gradual healing. In John chapter 4, verses 46 to 53, let's go ahead and read those. We see here a gradual healing. And yet Jesus, the Bible says, had the power of God on his life to minister without any limitation. John 3:34 said Jesus had the anointing without limits. The power of God on him was so strong that people would come by and touch them and they were healed if they had some little bit of faith to draw it out of them. Mm-hmm. So let's go here in the John 4, 46 to 54, the King James Version. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Let's read verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, verse 48, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Verse 49. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Verse 50. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. So this man, evidently this man believed the word. Mm-hmm. His son was over there.
Right.
He had to leave. There's no telephone. There's no nothing that he can assure him that his son is alive right at that moment. There's no way he could have known except he believed what Jesus said at the very moment. And he went. The Bible said believe. Believe is a verb, an action word. So here's an action. Faith is seen in word and in action. So he went his way. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Verse 52. Then he inquired of him the hour which he began to amend. Evidently, this guy started getting better and better moment by moment. Then they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. So this one healing affected not only the father who went, his faith, his whole house was affected. You know, one healing can affect the whole house. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, I want to know Jesus too.
Yes.
And so, verse 54, and again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea to Galilee. So there often instant healings. I was heard someone said, a minister of God, a man of God who lived 70 years ministering healing. He said this. He said, often instant healings can be a curse rather than a blessing. In one sense that people tend to forget God when they get the instant healing. They go right back to living the way they live. They don't turn to God. I've seen that in my own mom's case. She got instant healing. She was supposed to die and she lived. And she never really came to God 100%. Mm-hmm. She had some kind of respect for God, but never came to God, never served in the church, never gave money, never prayed, you know, with other people, never served, never went out witnessing and worked in the church. But she just went on and lived what she, natural living, and just went to bingos and kept smoking cigarettes and whatever she was doing, reading her, you know, magazines, whatever. Didn't spend time, as far as I know, studying the Bible. What happened to her? She died early. And yet she went to heaven before that. So sometimes instant healings can be... I take my own examples from my own life. I mean, you can do it yourself. Look at your own life. And begin to make sure it's in the Scripture. Is that in the Scripture? You need to ask yourself. So... the people who experience gradual healings, however, seemingly tend to be more grateful and get to hold on to their healing. And during this time, they tend to develop strong faith for healing in the long run and have great victory.
Right. And they're using their own faith.
Yes.
So they're growing in their own faith. They're establishing that relationship with God. So that's really important.
Yes. And then Paul might have left this man Trophimus sick, but later, we know from Scripture that he may have got recovered from his illness because of gradual healing.
Right.
He left him sick, but then he prayed for him. Then he probably went on the road, and the man was healed.
Right, and traveling with Paul wasn't easy, as we know.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to be on the
high seas.
On the high seas on the board, 2x4. 4x6. Well, hanging on to a board. oh, that Paul shouldn't have left, called me on this trip. I'm starving. I wish I had some chicken. You know? When I get off there, I'm going to whack Paul with his board. So, you know, I mean, it's not easy. Like, you know, Pastor Ken come work with us here. I don't know what he thought, but he's still here. He might have thought he's going to get a nice Cadillac, but he never get a Cadillac. He got cataracts instead of Cadillac. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's still here.
Mm-hmm.
But when people come work with us, they think automatically, no, you have to walk by faith.
Right.
You got to walk by faith and not by sight. Like, you know, when we came together, we agreed together that God, you knew God wanted you in ministry. I knew God wanted me in ministry mm-hmm. before we met each other.
Mm-hmm.
You knew, I didn't know for sure, and I didn't know if I was going to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
I sure didn't want to. I wanted to go into ministry. I wanted to go and have my own life. I had my life planned out. I want to have a job. I might work for the government. I might make all this money. I'm going to do this extra work. I'm going to have this house, this property, this kind of vehicles, this kind of travel, this kind of vacation. This is what I'm going to have. But God came along and brought us in the ministry.
Divine interruption.
Divine interruption. And, you know, so we have to obey God. So here's another scripture for us to add on here. Mark 16 and verse 18. The latter section of verse 18 of Mark chapter 16, the King James Version says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall get instantly well.
No.
No, that's not what it says. They shall die. No. They shall what?
Recover.
Recover. Yeah. Recover means what?
Well, could be a process, right?
Yeah.
Gradual.
Gradual. It's not instant.
But it's going to happen.
Like sometimes people, when you lay hands on them, they feel like, well, I didn't feel anything. There's nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And someone took my Facebook the other day, and took an old thing that I put on a number of years ago, and they said that God heals from the inside out. When God starts healing you, divine healing happens on the inside of your spirit, in your spirit, and gradually works its way out. So just because you look sick and feel sick doesn't mean you're not healed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you need to understand. God heals you from your spirit, your heart. And that's why you have to have a pure heart, because you don't want anything to you know, hinder your heart.
Right. So. And I think also when you're in a church like this, you're being taught healing and you do happen to get sick like Tremophis did, sometimes you feel condemned and you feel that also keeps you from receiving your healing. So don't feel condemned if you get sick or have symptoms, but just take it as an opportunity to use your faith and get, you know, knowing that you will recover, they shall recover, so you can believe that.
So all these things that we're talking about, these roadblocks, Brother Hagin used to say, healing is seldom an expressway.
Right.
But it's a rough road with a lot of hindrances along the way as you go on this road. So everyone out there, including you and me, we have to work out our own hindrances. We're talking about this. God's going to talk to you about these things
mm-hmm.
in your own personal life, in the life of your loved ones, in the life of your relatives, and how to apply your faith. And then sometimes you might not get everything for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not because faith doesn't work, not because healing is not available. It's because sometimes people need to situate themselves. They have something to do with their faith.
Right.
In my brother's case, he died of cancer. I asked the Lord personally. When he came to my office, came to my place, he said, bro, I have cancer. The doctor said he got cancer, and this is the stage it's in. Pray for me, he said. So before that, I would always call him. Hey, I'm going to church tonight. You want to come with me? Come on. He said, oh, no, I'm going to with my wife to the bingo. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So I tried, call him, I'll pick you up. One day he came to my office and said, bro, pray with me and agree with me that I'll have a car so I could come to church and I'll bring people to church. I said, okay, let's pray. He got a car. Did he come to church? No. Did he help out? No. Did he give money? No. But he sure asked me for help. See, God had to, and the Lord said to me, your faith has nothing to do with this. you can't pray for him now because I've dealt with him. And I said, bro, I had to tell him, you know what, I'm gonna pray for you, but it's not going to work because God's dealing has dealt with you. Right. You have to believe. Well, he died. He's gone to heaven. Mm-hmm. He believed Jesus. Jesus was his Lord. He's up to having a great time right now. I have no problem with that. But he didn't have to die.
Right.
His children miss him today, and I see that. But he didn't have to die. Mm-hmm. If he would have stuck with me, came with me and learned about faith and served with me along in the church, he could have lived. But he didn't. So I'm sorry to say that maybe your relative might pass away, and you're going to have to cry, and you're going to have to deal with God and deal with your disappointment. Let God heal you.
Yeah.
That's going to happen at times. Let's deal with one more before we close. Roadblock number 5. No, we have 7. We picked 7. But roadblock number 5, stumbling block number 5 is that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You know, I used to laugh about this, that sometimes people know more about Paul's thorn and Job's boils than the healing word of God.
Right.
And so some say Paul's thorn was a terrible sickness and possibly an eye ailment because he expressed to the Galatians that they would have plucked out their eyes for him. Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. Some have said he went around half blind, pus draining out of his eyes, ministering to the people.
No.
I mean, can you imagine Paul with pus coming from his eyes and laying hands on people, praying that God's in the redemptive work of, you know, he's healing everybody, but except me. Some people is not. What kind of a message is that? That doesn't go right with Isaiah 54.
Right.
And all those other scriptures. So, he said, you would have plucked your eyes out and have given them to me over in Galatians 4, 5. And we read some other things that says that, you know, that's an expression that they had.
Right.
Because they loved Paul so much. Paul said, you know, you would just give your eyes
right
to me. You'd give your life to me. We tell people that I love him so much, I'd give you my whole life.
Right.
We say things like that. But we don't literally mean that, hey, I love you so much, I'll die for you. And so this is the expression that, you know, I guess some commentaries say, and during in that time, in that place there, they would say certain things that would make sense to them of how much they loved each other. Let's go over here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, the King James Version, Paul's talking to the Corinthians. You know, here's something they said. What's the easiest way to identify something in the scriptures about interpretation, Bible interpretation?
Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to?
Who are they speaking to?
What are they speaking about?
What are they talking about?
The context.
So that's the context. So Paul is speaking. Paul's talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about his situation in life, like, you know, what happened to him. So, lest I should be exalted above measure through the obedience or the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So he said, because I had abundance of revelations over here, I was given a thorn in the flesh. And notice the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, excuse me, that's what it is, right? So, verse 8 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So he went to the Lord 3 times. I guess you can only ask for 3 times. Then he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches and in necessities, in persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sakes, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So this scripture has widely been used to convey the thought that Paul had sickness that God refused to heal. This is what people think, that he had some kind of ailment, such as this. Evidently, people have said different things over the years. I've heard different commentaries that Paul had, because he had the Jesus appeared to him and he went blind for a short time. And then Ananias went over, laid hands on him, prayed for him that he might receive his sight. Then they had some recurring problems with his eyes, that he had pus and he couldn't see very well. And he was hindered by that and so forth and so on. And people said this is why, part of what happened to him. So this teaching and belief has led many to believe that healing isn't available to everyone. And that is, it's God's will that some remain sick. The idea has kept many people in bondage and in darkness for many, many years and caused many confused and many sick. One common belief, as we mentioned, that Paul had some sort of eye disease in which he was almost blind, his eyes leaked with some kind of a pus. This idea comes from the situation which a disciple named Ananias was told to go lay hands on Paul to open up his eyes, for he had been blind for a short season. I think it was 3 days or something like that. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 10 to 18, King James Version. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Verse 11. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for he, behold, he prayeth. Verse 12. He had seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands upon him that he might receive his sight. So, God evidently had to capture this man and put him out of commission for a while so that he can talk to him. Sometimes God will take something and get a hold of people. And I said, Lord, I've heard of many this man, how he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name upon the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands upon him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way which thou camest, had sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales. And he received his sight from forthwith and arose and was baptized. As a side journey here, you see, God, Jesus talking to this Ananias in a vision, gave him a vision. Evidently, this is a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom that came to him in a vision and told him exactly what to do, what was happening, what he should do, and what the results would be. This is the gift of the Spirit in operation,
right,
in the life of a believer. And then even though he had that vision, he's still questioning God, questioning Jesus about the situation, that he was thinking that God doesn't know what he's doing. Because he said, Lord, you're sending me to some dangerous criminal. You want me to go there? This guy's killing people. Don't you know that? I think Jesus knew that. And some of you right now, God has asked you to do certain things, and you're doubting God. You say, God, listen, I ain't going to work with Roma. Last time I worked with him, it didn't work out very well. Last time I went to church, you know what happened last time I went to church? Or whatever you're saying, you don't understand. Let me just say this. Wouldn't it be so sorrowful if I was the same man I was 20 years ago? Wouldn't it be terrible if I was the same person I was 30 and 40 years ago? Or 5 years ago? Thank God for yes. God's changing our hearts regularly. And I thank God for people walking through these doors that God's changed them.
Yes.
And I believe that love believes the best of everybody. So in this situation, let's go back to the situation over here. Ananias was telling God, hey, there's a mistake here. This guy's killing people. He didn't know that God's changed this man. Mm-hmm. He's sending him to this person to help this person. And Ananias questioned it. But anyway, he was told to go and recover this guy, lay hands on him so that he could receive his sight.
Right. And we can see that the scales fell from his eyes. So if God allowed him to be healed or healed him here from the eyesight, and it wasn't a real...
It wasn't a disease.
It wasn't a disease. It was a supernatural attention getter.
Yeah, this was a working of miracle.
Right. So yeah. God wouldn't... Paul wouldn't have had vision problems because of this incident.
No.
That would be an unmerciful, unkind God.
Yeah, so God left a residue of the disease or whatever there.
No.
So he could suffer a little bit. The next time, you better watch it.
Right.
Don't go around killing Christians. And so Paul had trouble with his eyes, people said, would belittle the work of God, as you mentioned. It would say, he had trouble with his eyes. After that, he had vision problems. Mm. And God left a little bit in there. So Ananias was told to go lay hands on Paul so he could receive his sight. Receive his sight. To say that Paul had difficulty with his eyes is a problem
with
Scripture. So when Paul was on the island of Melita, he ministered to the people there about the redemptive work of God through Christ. If Paul's eyes were so full of pus and he couldn't see, as some claim, these people wouldn't have come to him for healing. Because the Bible says that Paul laid his hands on the people and healed them. Let's go over here to Acts 28, verses 8 and 9. It came to pass, Acts 28, verse 8 and 9, it came to pass that the father Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. Verse 9 says, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed.
They had a great healing revival.
They had a healing revival over one man's healing. After that, there was healing. And thank God we're praying for the sick. And people are getting healed. And once this goes out more, what we're doing here, we're praying for the sick. We're believing. Mm-hmm. We're believing God. Other people are doing other things. They're I don't know what causes they have, but our cause is in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. We're not here to argue with people. We're here to bring the Word of God to people.
Right.
And they can argue with God themselves.
So people are saying Paul's thorn was sickness, and it was possibly his eyes, an eye disease. So what was Paul's thorn?
Well, okay, it's true that God permitted a thorn in Paul's flesh to come upon him, but this thorn was not from God, as the Scriptures mention. Mm-hmm. The Scripture said a messenger from Satan was permitted to buffet him. And the Bible didn't say it was sickness.
Right.
The expression thorn in the flesh is also used in a number of other places in the Bible, but it does not refer to sickness, nor does it refer to disease. In the book of Numbers, chapter 33, verse 55, God said, if the Israelites didn't obey in exterminating those people off the land, they would be a thorn in their side. That's an expression.
Right. Yes.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say thorn in the flesh refers to sickness. In the Old Testament, nor in the New Testament.
So it was enemies or people.
Yes. Demonic oppression as well, or demonic forces causing these things to happen, like riots and being persecuted and stoned. Mm-hmm. Those are things that are thorns in people's side. The thorn was the messenger of Satan to strike blows continually on Paul. Everywhere Paul went, Satan was there stirring up strife against Paul to stop him from preaching the gospel. Paul wrote that he'd been whipped, beaten, stoned, persecuted, even killed. He suffered many tribulations, but not one time did he mention he was stricken with sickness as part of his troubles.
Right, and the Bible interprets itself.
Yeah. So why did God permit Paul to be buffeted with this thorn in the flesh? It also kept Paul from being, this thorn in the flesh kept Paul from being prideful about the revelations and visions he had. Let's go look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. He said this, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, he wasn't allowed to get prideful. Like, people in ministry can tend to be prideful, because if God's using you in some miraculous way, it could go to your head. You know, you publish a book and it's a million seller, and all of a sudden money's coming in. You get one person healed, and all of a sudden there's people traveling to your ministry. That can start getting to your head. And so it says in here, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. The word buffet means to have blows, repeated blows. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Similarly, some may suffer a thorn in the flesh, like Paul, in order to keep them from being troubled, from getting prideful in their lives. But God said something else. But God asked, so God asked that this thorn be removed, and God responded by saying this: "My grace is sufficient for thee." And 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Praise God, God's grace is sufficient for us, His power to overcome and rise above Satan's situations that come against us. He causes that. So, these are we got a couple more to work on. A couple more of these. We might come back and do them. We might not. They might not be, because the other ones are. I'm suffering for the glory of God. I think we dealt a little bit with that earlier, and then also chastisement. We'll talk about that next time. About God is chastising me. So thank God. We want.